want to welcome you to Celebration. It's good to virtually see you. And my encouragement to you in this time, especially during musical worship, is to get into a posture that enables you to interact with God, whether you are 8 or 68 or anything in between. We're going to open our time with the song that Derek introduced last week, Shine Your Light. And we'll start with the chorus, just as a little reminder. And this song is our declaration to God. This song is a declaration of God's truth that Jesus has committed and God has committed to justice. And it's our prayer to be partners with God in that good work. So the chorus is this way. Shine your light, shine your light, shine your holy light of goodness, grace, and love, and mercy from above. By your might, turn the darkness to light, by goodness, grace, and love. Amen. That is our prayer, Lord.
As we light the Christ candle, we remember that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And now a responsive reading from Psalm 4. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You gave me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer.
How long, you people, shall my honor suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him.
When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord.
There are many who say, oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and wine abound.
I will both lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. I hope that all of you had a good and safe 4th of July. Oh, my name is Abby, and I'm a member and an elder here at Church Without Walls. I hope that all of you had a good and safe 4th of July. And I hope that we also make sure to remember that none of us are free until we're all free. And 1776 was not a day of freedom for everyone. We as a church have committed to 381 days pursuing racial justice. So that's something we want to always have on mind. And to start off here, let's do a quick group unmute with that in mind as well. We're going to say, good morning, sister. Good morning, brother. No justice, no peace. One, two, three.
Good morning, sister. Good morning, brother. No justice, no peace.
Thank you, everyone. All right. Some quick reminders here. First, make sure to grab your communion elements if you have not yet. Think about that early on in the service so you'll have them when the time comes. We will have a little meet and greet later in celebration, as we always do. So look forward to that, and you'll get to see and talk in a little bit more depth with people in the community. And especially look forward to that if you're a newcomer, and make sure to welcome newcomers when they are they're in those breakout groups if we have any. Check the chat or chat admin CWOW if you'd like to be added to our email list. You can also go to the website to do that. There should be links in the chat for most of these sorts of things too. And then I've got two bigger announcements for us. One, tomorrow, Monday, July 6th, is the deadline to sign up for So You Think You Can Dance CWOW. A very exciting event happening later in July. Yeah, as has been just posted in the chat, email Karen by tomorrow if you would like to officially sign up for that. Make sure to do so. We want to see as many of you as possible do some fun dancing. And second announcement, you can still join a summer book group, Bible study, or spiritual gifts group, etc. That it is not too late to join those. Another link in the chat will lead you to those if you would like to. You can check out our Google Calendar, which I believe you can find on our website or link to through our website, to check dates and times for all of those if you need to make sure that they're able to be put on your schedule. Then we have one last announcement, which I will hand it over to Gary.
Hi, church. As Abby said, we have been entering a season of recommitment and reprioritization to racial justice. And we have been spending time in the last month lamenting and interceding and discerning about our actions and listening. And those things at this point may have felt a bit ad hoc. And I think the reason for that is because they've been a bit ad hoc. And today we want to officially launch our 381 days of racial justice. I think it's appropriate to do it on the 5th of July, partly because it's the date of one of the most famous speeches in American history, and that is Frederick Douglass's 4th of July speech, which he did give on the 5th of July because of exactly what Abby said, his observation that for black folk in the United States, 1776 was not a day of celebration. So you can actually hear that speech given by Frederick Douglass's grandkids if you click on the link in the chat. I think that would be a good way to celebrate the 5th of July. The reason that we are wanting to focus on 381 days is partly because it's an echo of the Montgomery bus boycott, which took 381 days to achieve desegregation of the public transportation in that city. And so what does the 381 days look like? A couple things let me share in the chat. The first thing I want to share with you is a little spreadsheet that a few of us have put together. And here it is. The spreadsheet has three tabs. The first one is explaining in detail what the point of the 381 days is. And so if our announcement this morning fades from view, you can read that. We've also offered some ideas for action for various ones of us, financial giving, political advocacy, personal engagement. And then finally, we have some tabs which we have not yet entered yet, but I'd love to invite us to enter that, to really think about how we will individually engage in racial justice in our spheres of influence on a regular basis in the year to come. And so this is a way for us to, this document, the reason we have this document is two reasons. First of all, it helps us be sustainable because it gives us a way to check in on a regular basis. Like, hey, have we kept this? Have we continued to prioritize this? Or does this fade from view in December? So it's a way for us to be sustainable. And finally, it's a way for us to be inspired by each other as we see what each other is doing. It allows us to say, hey, I could do that as well. All right, I'm going to stop sharing that. But I think we also recognize that just reporting to each other and sustainably acting individually in our spheres of influence is not enough. We also need to step into political advocacy as a community and to do that together. And so one action that we will be taking as a community is to expand and diversify our racial justice leadership team, which has been commendably leading us in these areas in the past. And I think by expanding this team to reflect our full ethnic diversity in our church and the full gifts, spiritual gifts and various gifts that we have, as we expand that team, I think it will allow us to take concerted action moving forward. Some of those things are yet undetermined because it really takes time to build up alliances. It builds up to follow leaders of color who are trying to lead us into this area where we concretely as a church act politically in order to put in flesh our belief that Black lives matter. So we have an individual approach, we have a corporate approach for action, and now Bora is going to tell us about a third approach that will be part of our 381-day push.
Good morning, folks. I'm here representing the elder team, and I also want to commend that NPR program with the kids reading Frederick Douglass's speech. They're not his grandkids, though. That would be pretty amazing if they were his grandkids. They're like his great-great-great-great-great grandkids. But as a community have been engaging in the topic of racial justice, looking at 381, looking at, in many ways, issues sort of outside our community, I think it felt like to really have integrity, we needed to spend some time looking at issues of race, racial dynamics, racial justice within our church family. So this coming year, In addition to the 381 days, the Church Without Walls elders is committing to steward that process for ourselves. Probably that's one of the places we'll start in conversations as a team, but also to somehow in humility and with a lot of help from the Holy Spirit to lead out in our church community. And I think I just want to say, there's a great analogy that I heard about on a podcast that Mari DeSarmo sent out, which is that engaging in racial justice is like a marathon, and we may all be in very different places in that race. Some of us feel like we're running, we're hitting our stride. Some of us feel like we're just getting started. Maybe you feel like you went out too fast and you pulled a hamstring, or maybe you feel like, for me, this is not a marathon, it's an ultra, and I've been running it my whole life. We just want to acknowledge that as a community, that we are all in different places in this serious, personal, and emotional area, and that there is something of God's grace in calling us all together to be a community in this space. So if you have ideas and resources for the elders, please send them to me, and pray for Church Without Walls and pray for us. Thanks. And now I think I get to hand it over to what is legitimately a highlight of every single Sunday celebration, Teacher Sarah with I Wonder.
Good morning, Godly Play Kids. I'm so excited to see you. I see somebody whose name is T, starts with T and D, sitting right close to the screen. So feel free to scoot a little closer if your name starts with L. It's so nice to see you. Oh my goodness, we love seeing you at church. This is mommy's time. You are so important to us. We're really proud of how you're doing. Let's take a minute to get ready. It might be hard to do the real Godly Play getting ready where you fold your hands and you sit crisscross applesauce, but maybe just take a breath with me. Yeah, yesterday might have been a big day, or maybe you didn't sleep too good. Let's just get a little bit ready for God to come close to us and for us to come close to God. Wow, good job. All right. I'm wondering something. I'm wondering if you know why I always say, hey, Godly Play Kids, you are so important to us. And I say that just about every time. Do you know why? I wonder. It's a real thing. It's not just like, oh, you're important to us. Do you know why that is? Pastor Gary talked about it last week when he told a story about cupcakes and some kids. And the kids were really good at doing something. Does that give you a hint? Okay, in the story, oh, I see some people acting it out. Okay, yeah, the cupcake is there. And then the kids, yeah, the kids' hands are going, they're following the cupcake all around. That's because kids are experts at receiving. You know, receiving means when you get something. So I wonder if you can think about a time when you received something. Did you, like, receive breakfast from your grown-up today? Or did you receive a morning hug? Can you think about how you did that? What was that like? How did you do that? I bet you were really good at it. That is why kids are so important at Church Without Walls. It's because they are all the time telling the grown-ups and showing the grown-ups how to receive. Maybe you don't know, but the grown-ups are watching you all the time and learning from you. So keep up the good work, Godly Play Kids. I'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Teacher Sarah. And now another highlight of our service, our chance to reconnect with each other and actually hang out as a community. What a gift. You may or may not need our little prompting question, but I want to offer one anyway if it helps your conversation, it helps your chance to catch up. In today's sermon, in today's text, we're going to see Jesus' ability to go really deep, really fast. So one question you might want to share with each other is, do you have any friends? Maybe they're old friends. Maybe you don't see them that often. But with these friends, you can go really deep, really fast. So if you have a friend, and maybe you've even been able to reconnect with friends like this during shelter in place, because we feel like, hey, we're all equidistant now. And so share with each other, if you will, what friends do you have that you can go really deep, really fast with? And who have you been reconnecting with that maybe at the beginning of the year you weren't sure that you would have connected with? All right, have a great time in your groups. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Let us now hear the reading of the word led by Jane Lee.
This is the word of the Lord. Then Peter said, look, we have left our homes. Oh, sorry. A certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. He replied, I have kept all these since my youth. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, there's still one thing lacking. Sell all that you own and distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. But when he heard this, he became sad, for he was very rich. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard it said, then who can be saved? He replied, what is impossible for mortals is possible for God. Then Peter said, look, we have left our homes and followed you. And he said to them, truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not get back very much more in this age and in the age to come eternal life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you so much, Jane. In the last few weeks, we have been listening to Jesus tell us stories. And it's very striking that Jesus' strategy for helping us understand the upside down kingdom is to keep telling us different kinds of stories. So in the last weeks, we've heard stories about widows and kids and all kinds of different people who have helped us understand what the kingdom looks like. And so this week we have a story, Jesus tells a story of a ruler, a powerful person, a person of privilege who meets Jesus. And we learn a lot about the kingdom through the conversation that they have. And in this passage, Jesus gets real deep, real fast with this guy. And this passage is a revolutionary, very powerful passage. This passage has unleashed some of the best things about the church over the last 2,000 years. And it's been a challenge to all of us throughout the whole time. And many times the church has not taken this story seriously. And so it's with humility and with some amount of trepidation that I want to invite us into hearing this story of how Jesus spoke to this privileged ruler. Before we get to his story, though, because there's a lot of talk about economics today, I want you to understand the sort of two main stories around the economic systems that we have to understand this to get the story. So hang on. Here are two economic stories that Jesus is playing with in this passage. The first one is the story of Roman colonial economics. And it was the dominant system of the time. The way the Romans ran their economic system is, first of all, they conquered people, and that allowed the rich conquering colonialists to set high taxes on poor farmers and also to run their own businesses with slaves they took from those they colonized. And so what did that result in? For the farmers on the land, which was most people, they had to pay these high taxes and compete with these big farms that were driven by free slave labor. So a lot of these farmers, like in Judea, the farmers that followed Jesus and that knew Jesus, they couldn't make it. So they were forced off their land and they became beggars or day laborers. And so then that increased a bunch of the land that was vacant. And so those rich colonialist Romans bought that land. And so the inequality continued to increase. And then the wealthy colonialist Romans, they defined giving as like their paternalistic patronage. So they enhanced their own status through giving. So they would give for statues or for gymnasiums or temples or bread for our citizens. And then through that, they would become honored and everyone would say how great and how generous they were, even though they made their money through exploitation. So the whole goal of the Roman system was to protect the honor and status of the rich through maintaining increasing inequality, right? The goal of the system was to protect the honor and status of the rich through maintaining increase of inequality. So that's the Roman colonial system. In contrast to that, the colonial system was Jesus's vision of the Jubilee economy. And the Jubilee economy came from Jesus's understanding of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. In the Torah, all the land was actually God's. And God wanted to set it up so that everybody would have some land, so that everyone could have the dignity of having, justice and having flourishing, economic and social flourishing. So everybody had enough. But the Jubilee laws were all in the Torah. The Jubilee laws were also very realistic about how people will become oppressed, people will fall into poverty. So these Jubilee laws created a whole series of like reset buttons to protect anyone who might fall into poverty. So Jubilee laws were like no interest loans, opportunities for servants to start their own businesses, the sharing of crops through like gleaning when something would fall through the ground, the poor were allowed to take that for themselves. They weren't just allowed, they were commanded. The rich who owned those farms, that those crops that fell to the ground were the property of those who were poor and they had the right to take that. And finally, the biggest Jubilee law of them all, the return of land to families who had lost theirs every generation. So for the Jubilee economy, giving was not something that rich people did to enhance their status, but giving was required for the sake of justice. It wasn't an optional act of charity. And so the Jubilee laws, the Jubilee economic system, was there to protect the flourishing of the poor through resetting equity. The Jubilee laws were there to protect the flourishing of the poor through resetting equity. All right, so you understand the sort of interplay between this Roman colonial system and this Jubilee system? Now I think we can understand the story that Jesus tells. So let's walk through it. Let's look at the first part of the text here. So we see, first of all, Jesus going real deep, real fast. Because this ruler, that's the first word we want to notice, that the ruler is someone who is succeeding in the Roman colonial system. Even though he was a Jew, even though he was a colonized person, he had learned to position himself to benefit from that system. But he also wanted to justify himself and inherit eternal life. So he came to Jesus and he sort of flattered him and he called him good teacher. And he said, "What do I do to get into eternal life? You're clearly proclaiming the way to eternal life. So I'm in, right?" And so Jesus starts off, you know, the traditional way. He's like, "Well, the Ten Commandments, do you do all that stuff?" And the guy's like, "Yeah, I always do that. I'm a good Jew." So now is where Jesus, in the next slide, where Jesus goes real deep, real fast. He says, "All right, here's something else that like the Jubilee economy, the upside down kingdom that I'm calling everybody to, this is what it would look like for you, ruler guy." He's like, "Why don't you sell all that you own and just distribute it all to the poor, leave behind your status, and then come follow me. And you can also walk around with me and be one of this community of the kingdom. That would be salvation eternally and salvation now for you." And so it's interesting to see how he responds. He responds to that invitation with sadness. We could go back to the other slide still, thanks. It says, as you see, he heard this invitation and he became really sad, for he was rich. And I just kind of want to stop here for a second, because I know for me, I identify with this ruler, because I would acknowledge personally that I am privileged economically compared to others, that the system works for me. And I know that many of us, not all of us at CWOW, would also resonate with this ruler. And so what can Jesus' invitation to sort of jump ship from the colonialist economy to the Jubilee economy, that can feel threatening. That can feel like, oh, I have so much to lose. Jesus, you're calling me to so much sacrifice. And so we're sad, because if that's what it means to follow Jesus, can I really do that? I'd be giving up so much. But I actually don't think that's what Jesus is saying to this rich man. I think it's more like Jesus is offering him an opportunity to like invest in the Jubilee economy at the IPO, at the initial public offering. He's saying, rich ruler, like this, the future lies with the Jubilee economy. In fact, the whole kingdom of heaven, in fact, the future of this earth that Jesus is going to restore and redeem, is going to be about the equity and justice of the Jubilee economy. And so what he's saying is, man, here is your chance to divest from this oppressive economy and invest in the Jubilee economy. Wouldn't you want to do that? I'm welcoming you into the kingdom freely. But he just couldn't hear it. And so, of course, Jesus recognizes, like, this is hard, because even though it's an invitation into joy, it's an invitation into the future that Jesus, as the Lord of Jubilee, is offering to everyone, including this rich man, even though it is such an opportunity, it's an opportunity for joy and justice, Jesus is like, yeah, it's hard. The system is working for you, and it's actually be easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. And so then in the next slide, the disciples are like, yeah, we thought that the rich people were the favored ones. That was part of the discourse. And they asked Jesus, well, who can be saved? And Jesus is saying, it's actually not impossible. It is doable now. It's a miracle, but it's possible for the rich and for the poor in their different ways to participate in this Jubilee economy. And so then Peter asks a really interesting question. Peter, in the next slide, Peter really, I think, speaks for the disciples, who are mostly working class folks. They are farmers. They are fishermen. They are people for whom the system is not working. The system is oppressing them. They are not experiencing Jubilee, but they said yes to Jesus' invitation. If you remember earlier in Luke, Jesus actually gave Peter the same invitation. He said, Peter, would you leave your home, leave everything behind, leave your nets behind and come and follow me? And Jesus, and then Peter said, yes, I will join the Jubilee economy. And Jesus says, you see, this whole kingdom, this whole upside down kingdom, Peter, is for you. I've designed it for people like you, for whom the colonialist economy does not work. And so he says, whoever has left in the radical way that you have that economy, you're going to receive very much more in eternity, in the permanent ways that Jesus is going to offer this. And also, even in this age, you are going to see signs of the kingdom. You're going to, through the community coming together, through the ways that Jesus's kingdom is going to disrupt that colonialist economy, you're going to experience a new and fresh kind of flourishing, which is a sign for the entire future. So we can see, here's an invitation to joy. The disciples, the working class disciples, had said yes. The rich ruler said no. And so I think that opens up the question for us. What does this text mean for us? And so just like we looked at the two economies from the Roman era, I just want to look at some elements of our economy as well, because I really think there are some parallels with the Roman economy. In the United States, as we think about the founding of our country this holiday weekend, I think we all need to recognize and to notice some of the key elements in our capitalist economic system were also colonialist. that it is a hard truth that white men in power have built our economic system based on stolen land from Native Americans and slave labor from African Americans. That part of the wealth of this country was built on that oppressive structure. And that's just the truth. That's just facts that we need to really acknowledge and to notice. But not just colonialism, but also inequality. That throughout American history, we've seen these stages where inequality increases. And we're actually in one of those stages right now as we sit here in front of our screens in shelter in place, that we are seeing that inequality increase. We even see that the system, even over the last 3 months, has increased this inequality, where vast amounts of money from the Fed is supporting the stock prices of the largest, richest Fortune 500 companies in America. But for small businesses, the support is confused and poorly disorganized. And for tax-paying undocumented folks, there's actually no support at all. And so, of course, the result is really predictable, even more inequality. You know, Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon, has made $24 billion since shelter in place. And last year, Amazon legally paid zero federal tax because they wrote the system. And so we are part of a system of where colonialism and inequality are part of where we are, where there's more corporate welfare for oil companies than for the indigenous people whose lands through whom the pipelines pass. So that's a reality for us too. And I know this is short, and I know there's a lot more we could say about our economic system, but I think these are realities that we need to take into account. And so for us, for those of us especially who can identify with the rich ruler, how are we being invited into the Jubilee system? How are we being invited to say no? And I think that we've tried to take small steps as a church through our giving weeks. And I think for those of us who do recognize ways that the system is working for us, I think going back to some of those places we've given in the past is one way. But I would like to close with a story that I actually think gives us some vision into how the Jubilee economy just might work in a creative and exciting way. And I'd like to share a story of a friend who, for me, I'm always able to go real deep, real fast with as well. And you can see her story on a website she's put together that is in the chat right now. That's my friend Leslie, who was actually part of our original economic discipleship groups where we looked at what the Bible says on money like 12 years ago now. We got together and did that. And I've seen Leslie really grow throughout the years in her creativity and wisdom and power as she has sort of created structures to affirm the Jubilee system. And what she's doing right now, and this is why I just talked to her this last week, because she actually reconnected with me and with others and invited us to sort of participate in this expression of Jubilee. And I really received it as an invitation. And so I'd like to share the invitation that she created. You see, Leslie has moved from Boston, where I knew her, to Pawtucket, Rhode Island, former proud home of one of the Boston Red Sox farm teams. But anyway, Pawtucket, Rhode Island is actually a former mill town whose downtown has really suffered over the years. It's kind of become this Rust Belt city. And so what Leslie has done is she's been able to buy a bunch of buildings in this downtown and to create spaces for Black businesses to flourish. For Black entrepreneurs who maybe haven't had other chances because the access to capital has been denied to them, she has already bought a bunch of buildings, and there are currently small businesses that are flourishing there because of her creativity. And so now she's had the opportunity to buy, I think, 6 more buildings in this downtown. And her vision is really, it's really revitalization without gentrification. She actually wants to make this whole downtown a hub for Black businesses, and she's able to buy through an auction at a really cheap price because Right now, the downtown is kind of suffering, but they're about to open a sort of light rail public transit site. And so in the future, you could really see this downtown re-flourishing. But if she buys now, she can create opportunities instead of for other wealthy entrepreneurs, for Black businesses who wouldn't otherwise have the opportunity. And I think the way she's going about it is really exciting, because she's invited friends like us, and she's invited me to share her story with you, this opportunity. Instead of going to these big banks like Chase or Wells Fargo, she's going to the church, and she's asking, like, hey, can we gather money? Can we all together invest in buying these buildings together? And so we don't have to deal with the big money capitalist bank systems. So she's trying to raise, through investment, she's trying to raise about $1 million to buy these buildings, and to just do it through word of mouth, through friends in the church. And I just think that's a really cool example of the Jubilee economy. There are many more. There are many more opportunities that will be very challenging, but this is just one of them. And so as a follow-up to this sermon, I'm going to email, you know, CWOW community. And if you would like the opportunity to invest in Leslie's project in Rhode Island, or if you'd just like to know more, you can just respond to that email as a really concrete opportunity to focus on this, to respond to this text. And lastly, I want to also acknowledge and recognize that there are people in our church who would maybe identify more with the working class disciples, that for you, the economic system has not been working. And if that's you, I want to remind you that Jesus is, he's creating an entire Jubilee system that centers you, that validates you, and that is working for your shalom and your flourishing. And that that you don't have to be defined by a system that prioritizes the Jeff Bezoses of the world, or those who can make these compromise with the system. That it's no surprise that those who have experienced poverty are more easily able to enter the kingdom, and that those who are like that don't have the impediments of those who, like me, would identify with a great deal of wealth. And finally, I would just say that these systems, as we think about them, are deeply interconnected and intersected with the racism that we've been thinking about so much over the last several months. You know, that the Bible, the New Testament says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And so we can see that in the Roman system, in our capitalist system, that the root of a lot of the evils of racism are just about white men getting rich. And then there's a whole racialized system created to justify that. And so these are hard things for those of us who would identify as wealthy. I think for those of us who identify as being oppressed by the system, these are liberating things. And so, as Bora said, these are challenges for us as a diverse community to face together. But I hope that we can face these things together. I hope that we can support each other in this process. And I hope that we can all experience the joy and the liberation of the Jubilee economy as Jesus invites us in. And so let us continue now in worship to praise the Lord of joy, to praise the Lord of Jubilee.
This next song helps us remember that we're on a journey with God to Jubilee. And no matter where you are on the spectrum, you might identify as both privileged and oppressed. It's possible to do both. And this song, I love the words, to leave to your God to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, the Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave
I need you, God, the joy of
Lord God, we ask that you remind us of that in the midst of whatever situations that we're in, be they joyful, be they challenging or hard, that you would remind us that you provide strength and there's more to the story. There is joy at the end and there's joy now. Thank you, Lord. Make that true for us. Amen.
Amen. Hi, my name is Dana, and I am one of the prayer ministers here at CWOW. And I wanted to invite folks into a time of being able to receive prayer ministry today. But before I did that, I just want to say what the prayer ministers do is we gather each Sunday, along with other folks who just want to pray for the service, every Sunday at 9 a.m. from 9 to 9:30. So it's really fast. But I just really wanted to encourage folks to encourage you to come if you haven't ever experienced that. It was so helpful for me this morning to pray about the 381 days and about the content of the sermon. And it's just a place I feel like is maybe underutilized or unknown. So just want to encourage you to do that. In fact, the time this morning was pretty rich. That sounds weird. But anyways, we normally hold a space to listen for prayer words of invitation for folks to come and to receive prayer. But we filled the whole time up so fast, we didn't do that. But I sort of extrapolated some words from the things that we were praying about that might be invitations for you to receive prayer this morning. The first is we were praying about God calling us to be people who could listen, both to him, to the Spirit, but also to one another. And I wanted to encourage you, if you're in a place where you feel like listening might be hard for you, and it could be a lot of reasons. It could be anxiety, fear of making mistakes. It could be about pain. It could be about shame. It could be a lot of different things. But if you feel like you want a blessing to be able to listen during this season, I wanted to invite people to come and to receive prayer. The second one is a passage from Luke that has been coming up in a couple different prayer meetings. This is Luke 10, and it's in the midst of the parable about the Good Samaritan. And the passage says this, Jesus is responding to a person in the crowd, and Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And I wanted to invite people to come and to receive prayer or a blessing if there's something in there that feels like, oh, it's really hard to love with that part of myself or to know who my neighbor is at this time. So if you were like, what does it mean for me to love with my mind? To come and to receive prayer, to have someone to pray with you. And really, to come and receive prayer for any need that you have, for something that's personal to you or to someone you love, to come and to receive prayer. And the way we do it is that there's going to be a link, I think it's already posted, in the chat room, which will send you to another Zoom meeting, which is where the prayer ministers will meet you. And everything we do and pray for there is confidential, so just want to encourage you to come and get prayer. There is also, as you can see here on the screen, other opportunities for prayer too. Let me quickly introduce our prayer ministers before we head into communion. So first this morning we'll have Tracy Ashlock. Hi, Tracy. Charlene Avenel. Wrong Charlene. Hi, Charlene, but the other Charlene. Can you find her, Brittany? Ah, there we go. This Charlene. And then Sharon Henthorne-Awani will be our other prayer minister. Yay. And last, me. I do not have a fancy sign like Sharon because I lost mine, but I'm sure Sharon will get me one any day. So to replace my, my lost one. And with that, head on over to Kim for communion.
Good morning, CWOW. So my name is Kim, and I'm going to lead us into our time of communion. If you don't have some communion elements nearby, this is the time to go and grab them. Here at Church Without Walls, we invite followers of Jesus from every background to join us at the communion table. And the way we do it during shelter in place is that we serve each other with whoever we're with at this time, or we serve ourselves if you're alone and imagine the hands of Jesus and or the hands of our community with you. So with that, we remember that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he had a meal with his disciples. During that meal, he took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. And he gave it to them saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." And we remember every time that we eat the bread and drink from the cup, we do so proclaiming Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection, and that he is coming again. If you would extend your hands over your elements and pray with me. Holy Spirit, would you come upon this bread and this cup, make them to be for us your very real presence. Would you come upon us and make us to be your presence in this world? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take and eat with hearts of faith and thanksgiving.
Thank you so much, JJ. That will indeed be my soundtrack this week. The joy of the Lord is our strength and all the other good stuff. Thank you so much for putting those, what do they call those when you have a song in your head, like a worm something? I don't know. We could talk about it afterwards. But thank you so much for leading us, JJ. As we close, I want to invite us to look outside. It's a beautiful day out there. I hope you enjoy your weekend, what remains of it. I hope it's a blessing and you can receive the joy of the Lord through his creation towards us. And as we close, I want to leave us with Jesus's blessing of invitation into the joy of Jubilee, who tells us, he makes us this promise, that whoever has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of kingdom of God will not fail to get back very much more in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. See, well, go now in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.